Oh, that's right. It's Monday afternoon, and boy, I don't know about for you, but it's been a Monday for me here today. But right now, we are fortunate to have Lori Franklin. She is with the McCormick Children's Home down there in McCormick. That's right. How you doing today, Lori?
Just fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we try to highlight different things that are happening not only right here in our Greenwood area, but in the surrounding areas. And I guess I would be correct in saying that the McCormick's Children's Home is like Bowers Rogers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. So the McCormick Children's Home has been in existence, what, since how long?
1998. We opened our doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so before that, you didn't have a place down there in McCormick.
No, they didn't. The POA, Savannah Lakes POA, got together with the McCormick DSS and asked, was there something that they could do in McCormick County? And so DSS suggested a children's home. And that would allow them to not have to take their children out of the county if something happened to them. And there were no foster homes available.
Wow.
So one thing led to another. They went to John Delahow, and it took them about 2 years, but they got everything established, and we were up and running.
So the McCormick Children's Home is actually on the property of John Delahow, but it's not part of John Delahow.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
And how did that come? I mean, how did that come about? It's really rather an interesting story. Can you share that with us?
Well, Rich Dombrowski and Ann Gumby, at that time, the director of McCormick DSS, got together, and they were going around town trying to find somewhere to establish the home. Someone told them to check on John Delahow campus. They spoke with John Shiflett. He checked with the state, and we were able to get one of the cottages that hadn't been used in about 30 years.
Wow, it must have been in pretty bad shape, though. 30 years of just sitting there?
Of just sitting there. So we had a group of seven men come down from Detroit, Michigan, and they did a lot of the demolition work for us. And then at that time, just starting Habitat for Humanities in McCormick and Abbeville, got together and used us as their testing ground.
Okay. And so they rebuilt it, reformed it into mm-hmm. something that was usable.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. So now, I understand that you pay a heck of a lot of rent down there to John Delahow.
It kills me every month to write that check, but I tell you, it's a whole dollar a month.
Dollar a month.
Dollar a month.
Have you thought about writing it for the whole year, like $12?
Well, we wouldn't want them to get cocky. If we were to do that, they'd think, you know, we were rolling in money or something. So,
so a dollar a month. Yeah, wow. Well, so that's a pretty darn good deal, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely excellent. And it allows us to be in a safe place with other children around on that acre of land. And it allows us to spread out a little bit. We have a playground, a parking lot. The children have this whole big yard they can run around in and play. And we're not located in the main city area, so that I don't have to worry about the children getting in the street or anything like that. It's a really good deal.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's phenomenal. I think it's phenomenal, too, that Savannah Lakes Village people got together and said, what can we do? And mm-hmm. something was worked out.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely great.
Yeah, because, you know, in truth, they didn't have to do that.
No, ma'am, they didn't. They could have stayed over there in their own little world and just not worried about what was going on with everyone else in McCormick, but they didn't do that.
I know. And I also understand that that Savannah Lakes Village is still very involved.
They are.
What do they do?
We have a lot of volunteers from Savannah Lakes. They come in, they cook meals.
Wow.
For the kids. We have some gentlemen that do nothing but cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some ladies that come over and don't want to do anything but play with the babies.
Right.
Change diapers, give baths, that kind of thing.
God, I guess you really hate that, don't you?
Oh, I tell you, it's just awful for us to have all these extra hands.
Right. That's terrific. I know that that has to make it a lot easier. I mean, they really take so many dollars that you don't have to expend to have that.
They do, because one of our grants in particular, our Victim of Crime Act grant from the Department of Public Safety is matched by volunteer hours specifically. So anytime anyone comes in and does anything for us that is an absolute blessing, because it allows us to match that grant dollar for dollar.
Wow. Now, as far as the children that are over there, what age group of children and how many children can you actually take over there at the McCormick Children's Home?
We can have up to 12 children at any given time between the ages of birth to 17, both male and female. Currently, we have 10 children between the ages of 1 and 8.
Now, just out of curiosity, when you have older children there with very young children, does it create any problems?
Just like in anyone else's home, you have the big kids that don't want to watch Disney Channel all the time. They want to go outside. The little kids can't go out. They want to stay up a little bit longer. The little kids have got to be on a certain schedule. So we usually end up splitting it up. We'll have the little children in one portion of the house, and they'll be doing certain things, and the older children will be able to go out, and we might take them to the movies. We'll have a Friday night movie night where we'll go out to dinner, and you'll get to go to the movies, and there are no little kids there, and they won't determine what movie we have to see.
Now, how did the kids end up at McCormick Children's Home?
All of our children are in DSS custody, and they are in foster care. Originally, our home was titled an emergency shelter, and that meant we were the first stop when the children were brought into foster care. Now we're considered a level one group home, and we can still take children from anywhere around from across the state.
Okay. But and is there a length of time that a child could be there or not?
Well, originally the state had a 30-day time limit. Then they went to 90 days, and they went back to 45. But right now, when they changed our title to Level 1 Group Home, mm-hmm. Now the children can stay with us indefinitely until DSS finds a more permanent placement for them or are able to return them home.
I guess the objective always is of DSS to return them home.
Yes, South Carolina is a family-first state, and that means that they're always going to work their absolute hardest with the family to get those children back with their parents.
Now, just out of curiosity, do the parents ever visit?
Not at our home.
Okay.
All of the visits are done strictly through DSS. The caseworkers will pick the children up from us and take them to a central location, whether it's back at their DSS office or if it's in the park in McCormick, and they will do their meeting and their visitation there.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Lori Franklin. Yes, when we come back, we're going to talk about Lori and how she got started to where she is today and try to find out what she wanted to do before she became the executive director over there at the McCormick Children's Home. I think because her last name is Franklin, there was something about a song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. I don't know, but we'll find out when we come back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Beautiful afternoon out there. In fact, we could do a quick check of the weather and just see how nice and balmy it is out there right now. It is 82 degrees. That's right. Feels like, I think, 79. And what are we going to have for this evening? Well, it looks like we're not going to have anything. Okay, my weather just totally bugged out here, folks. But I thought it'd be nice to know what the weather is here in Greenwood. I can say this, it is nice out there. So why don't you get out there and enjoy it? Tomorrow's supposed to be nice, too. Wednesday, I think, and then Thursday, they're talking about some rain coming in. But right now, 80-plus degrees out there. We are talking this afternoon with Lori Franklin. She is the executive director of the McCormick Children's Home. Lori, you know, I always try to ask my guests what they wanted to do when they were growing up. What did they see their future as? And what were you thinking?
Oh, I wanted to be a superstar.
Superstar.
A superstar. I wanted to be the next Aretha Franklin. I mean, I just knew I had it.
Well, particularly with a last name like Franklin.
Of course.
That's right. And you even got your hair kind of like, you know, Miss Franklin.
Yeah. It has to run in the family, you know.
Yeah. What happened?
I can't sing.
You can't sing?
I can't carry a note in a bucket.
Note in the bucket. Okay, I like that one. Nope. That's a shame.
It's awful.
Well, so,
and I still try.
You still try. So so what? When that didn't work out, what did you decide you were going to do with yourself?
Well, then I decided I wanted to work with children with psychiatric disabilities.
And now, so, that's a lofty goal. How did you get to that goal?
Well, I've always liked helping people, and I've always wanted to know why.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a questioning child. Why was the sky blue? Why is the grass green?
What did your dad tell you?
To go away.
To go away.
It's just because I said it was.
Right.
What do you mean, why is the sky blue?
So you went to Lander.
I did. I graduated from Lander College at that time.
Yes.
And
you got a degree in psychology?
I did. I have a BA in psychology.
And what did you think you were going to do with that degree?
I was going to Patrick B. Harris. I was going to go work with mentally disabled children.
Okay. And but you didn't go there.
No, I got kind of sidetracked, and I went into domestic violence for about 10 years. But while I was there, I discovered that I really like working with children.
Now, you said you were doing an internship, weren't you, at Lander?
I did.
Is that how you ended up at what is now Meg's house?
Mm-hmm. In my senior year, I went to work with the Greenwood Women's Shelter under the direction of Mamie Lee. And we worked together for a couple of years. And then she got the opportunity to be the first executive director for the McCormick Children's Home. And I went along with her as a child advocate.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you found a home.
I did.
You did.
Yeah. I look up some mornings and I go, man, has it been 16 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 16 years since you went down the road.
Now, just out of curiosity, what are the most difficult things in working with the children that you personally have?
For me, it's saying goodbye. Because you don't know exactly what's going to happen to the children. We don't have a way of checking up to find out, you know, did this work out? Did this move? Was it the best move for this child? Are they still at home? Because the county is only going to check with them for another 30 to 90 days, and then the case is going to be closed. And so it's the unknowing.
So, but what about when they move into foster care? I mean, if they move from your place into a foster home, is there any way for you to know about that? Or
no.
No?
Originally, the state would discourage you from keeping any type of contact with the children. They wanted them to be able to get a fresh start at the new location without the old memories of being with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more of a family-oriented outlook. And they're not discouraging us from knowing what's going on with the children, but they're really still saying, okay, you know, but don't, you know, hold on to them so tightly that they can't form new relationships. So.
What do you think? Do you think, there's always the talk about children being so flexible and they can move forward and everything. In your experience in doing this, what do you think?
I think they are.
Yeah?
Children bounce back a whole lot faster than adults do.
Yeah.
Their biggest problem is they're having no control over anything that's going on. When you tell the child, don't worry about it, the adults are going to take care of this, mommy and daddy have to take care of some things before you're able to go back home. That's great, but children's attention span is about as long as the length of your little finger.
Mm-hmm.
And they think you meant right
tomorrow.
Away.
Right. Yeah.
When you say don't worry about it right now, okay. But in 5 seconds, they're worrying about it again. And so for them, that's the hardest thing, is trying to get that timeline down.
I guess you deal with a lot of children that have dealt with abuse and drugs mm-hmm. and all the things that we hear about through, the DSS and this type of thing. It has to be difficult when you bring a child in to wonder how it's all going to work out with the other children that are in the group.
Well, it's always fun.
It's always fun.
To see what the new dynamic is going to be.
Right.
Depending on the ages and the children that you already have in the house, you have a lot of different undertones going on, and you just have to keep working with them and reminding them that everyone's here for a reason. It's not always the same reason. You're not going to all leave at the same time, and no one's situation is exactly the same. So we're just not going to talk about what was going on at home. We're going to leave the adults to work that out. And we're going to worry about being children. That means getting our homework, going to school every day, playing. Because a lot of the times the kids come in and they've been the adults in the household.
Sure.
So you've got to get them back to the point of, remember, you're only 9. So you're supposed to still be having fun and playing with dolls over here and ripping and running and riding bicycles and stuff. You're not supposed to be worrying about whether or not the light bill is going to be paid tomorrow.
How does that work, though, truthfully? If you've had a child that has had to deal with how the light bills and being the adult in the family, how does that work for children, truthfully?
You have to keep talking. You have to keep reminding them that for right now, that's just totally out of your control. So with that in mind, you're going to have to set that aside. And we're going to have to learn to do something else. And you just have to keep saying it over and over and over again. When they're used to being the one to take care of their 3 siblings.
Sure.
It's hard for them to let go. And know that we're the ones giving the baths. And we're the ones planning the meals and deciding whether or not they get dessert tonight. Or what's going to be for dessert tonight.
I would think that would be very difficult. And I would be curious. I mean, I know you can't really give me an answer, but that makes me curious as to if they are allowed to go back into the family situation that they came from at some point when things are better or more stable. I wonder what it does to them psychologically. Do they all of a sudden say, okay, now I've got to jump forth and be the adult, even if things are better, and they don't?
Well, the parents will have gone through parenting classes, and hopefully they're going to have seen a better way to do things. And so that when everyone gets back into the household, they're going to all start off on that brand new leg and hopefully not go backwards where the child is the one being the parent.
Just out of curiosity, do you ever have any children that end up back there after they've left?
Yes, we've had a couple of children to come back through the household again.
Why did they come back?
If they were moved from us and sent to relatives and things just didn't work out, we've had a couple that they said the relative had too many children that just made, you know, when you added 2 more, it was just, you know, unmanageable at that time. And so they can't do it anymore. And so they would call us and say, can they come back? Because they were comfortable there with you. And I'm sure as long as we've got an available placement, we'd love to have them come back.
Now, how many kids can you take there?
12.
12. Do most of the children come from McCormick?
No.
No?
We were looking back at our statistics, and in the last 3 years, the majority of our children have come from Abbeville.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Is that because they'd rather bring them to another area, or is just you don't have as many from McCormick?
I think it's because we don't have as many from McCormick, but we have a really good relationship with Abbeville, Greenwood, Edgefield, Saluda, all of our neighboring counties.
Right.
And they've worked with us for just about 16 years, the majority of the workers over there. And so they'll feel very comfortable giving us a call.
Well, you know, these are some of the questions that I have. Hey, if you've got a question for Lori Franklin, a.k.a. Aretha Franklin, just give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. When we come back, we're going to be talking about foster parents, what they do over there, and a whole lot more. So I certainly hope you're going to stay right with us right here on WCRS. Right here in Greenwood, South Carolina Radio News is up.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking about the Children's McCormick Home, the McCormick Children's Home right here with Lori Franklin. She is the executive director. You know, and Lori, we were just talking about, you know, we all know how much it costs just to raise children in today's mm-hmm. world. And, of course, as a state-sanctioned facility, I guess you get money for the children coming from the state.
We do. The state pays us $85 a day per child.
Per child.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that if you're working at 12 is your max, so if you've got anywhere from 10 to 12 children on hand there, you're probably doing okay to salary mm-hmm. and this type of thing. Now, how many people actually work there?
There are 14 of us right now.
And you said four were full-time?
Yes, ma'am. I have four full-time people,
10 part-time.
Counting myself, and 10 part-time.
But that, if you have less than five, that must be kind of dicey.
It makes things really interesting.
Yeah.
Adjusting the schedule and trying to give time off and making sure that you still have enough people on call to come in. If you're down to one child, and we have been down to one child, and then you get a call for six.
So overnight, your
overnight,
whole situation
you've
changes.
You've got to go from that one person that was on staff and able to take care of everything to you got to make some phone calls before the end of the shift to make sure you have somebody else coming in to help out.
Sure. So those are some of the issues. But also, you and I were just talking about, you know, the goal, of course, is to try to get children into foster care. But that is difficult to find enough foster parents to be able to take all the children that come up, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it is. I know DSS is making a really big push to try to get more foster homes licensed. But there, it's just not enough people out there that are really, truly interested in doing that.
That's a big part of a need in our state.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there would be availability for people to become foster parents.
I think so. Yeah. And if they would call their local DSS office, they'll steer them in the right direction.
Sure. And, of course, even then, though, and I, from my understanding and even talking to some people that were involved in foster care, it is difficult for them because they have only X amount of dollars that they get from the state. But on the flip side, let's say I wanted to do extra things for the kids. I'm not really supposed to do that as a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to try to just keep within the basic needs. And that's where the guardian ad litem program comes in
mm-hmm.
to try to pay for those extra music lessons or going to a prom or all these other things that kids need and want.
That's true. And that is a really, really big help because anyone who's raised a family
mm-hmm.
or raising a family right now know that the $100 every quarter we receive at the home for children's clothing is only going to go so far. Now, for a one-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that $100 is amazing. I can go to any store and I can have a ball
right.
outfitting that child, and they'll be the prince of the, you know, of the county.
Right.
But now, take that same $100 and give me a 17-year-old.
That should be pretty tough.
And you can spend that on a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Depending on how big of a fight you want to have with them about
what they need and what they've got to have.
Do you really have to have that pair of pants to wear to school tomorrow,
right.
or are those shoes more important?
Sure. And not only that, so many times you get the children and all they have is what they're wearing when they come into foster
mm-hmm.
care.
That's true. So that's why we accept donations, clothing donations, for gently used
mm-hmm.
clothing for our children so that we can have something to help supplement that $100.
Sure. Now, I bet it's difficult bringing children in here. And what about all the technology? A lot of them, I'm sure, come with cell phones, do they?
And know a whole lot more about using them than I do.
Right, exactly. But are they allowed to have their cell phones and, like, call home? Or what do you do in that situation?
We leave that up to the caseworker because the state changed the rules on us about 2 years ago. Before that, they couldn't bring any technology in with them.
Mm-hmm.
They were strictly left to the phone calls that we could make for them
mm-hmm.
at any time during the day. Now, they're allowed to keep their cell phones on them. And so what we could make sure we tell the caseworkers is that we can't control
Correct.
Who they're calling.
I would think that, yeah.
All they got to do is go to the bathroom and make any phone call they want. And if you don't want them to have contact with the parents for whatever reason, until after the initial court date,
sure.
then we're going to have to come up with a working solution as to when they can have those cell phones and how the calls can be monitored.
I'll bet that's interesting work.
It really is, because they can send texts faster than you and I can sit here and have a conversation.
Yeah, I've seen them even sit there and be texting and not even looking at it underneath the table. You know, you could be at dinner and not realize that they were texting underneath the table right there.
Exactly. And again, and it's a whole lot better for them and quicker. And I can't get my thumbs to do that right. If I'm sitting here looking at the screen. So
that must make it difficult. It must make it difficult for the kids. I'm sure if you've ever taken a cell phone away from a child, they've had gone into immediate withdrawal.
Oh, immediate withdrawal. But we usually try to sit them down and say, okay, look, this is what's going on with your case. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the reason your caseworker does not want you to contact anyone in your family for the next, say, 2 weeks. Can we come to an agreement where you won't do that for the next 2 weeks if we allow you to keep the cell phone? Now, you do know that if we find out
that you have,
that you violated the agreement, then they're going to take your cell phone.
Hmm. How often have they violated that agreement?
You have to catch them at that.
Catch them. Yeah.
And then you have to think like them, too, because they'll say, well, I didn't call from my phone.
I used my friend at school's phone. I just love how you have to listen to every word. Listening is key in dealing with just about any situation, but particularly with kids. Yeah, I didn't call from my phone. Well, whose phone did you call from? Yes. I borrowed her phone. Yeah.
Exactly, but we weren't supposed to have caught that.
Right, exactly. But as you move forward here, what are some of the things that you really need down there at the children's home?
We have an ongoing list of needs. Money is always the very first need.
Sure.
And we accept any type of donations, no matter how large or small. But cleaning supplies, diapers, paper products, hygiene supplies, combs, brushes.
Toothbrushes,
the caps, the soap dishes. We give all of our children, everything they get when they walk in our door is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So every child has a plastic shoebox when they first come in the door, and they'll have a brand new toothbrush with the cap.
A brand new toothbrush. I'm telling you what, you guys go all out
all
here
out,
now.
I'm telling you. A soap dish.
Right.
Comb, brush, deodorant, all those personal items will go into that shoebox, and they're going to get that, and it's theirs. Then any clothing or anything else we give them while they're there also belongs to them. So when they walk out the door, there goes my one shoebox right there. I might need another one.
Right.
So we take donations of everything.
How important is that shoebox when a child comes into your place? To the child?
To them, it's amazing. This is mine. And you say, nobody's going to take that from me? Nope, nobody's going to take this from you. That is yours. Put what you want to in that. And then there's another box up under their bed that's bigger so that they can put school paperwork. Pretty much anything they want can go up under that bed. And this is yours. Nobody else is going in it. Nobody else is going to take anything out of it. This stays with you. Now, when you get ready to leave, we're going to pack up everything out of that one, and that goes with you. We also accept donations of suitcases. Gently used suitcases. Because, again, when the children come in with nothing or even a few things, a lot of the times they'll come in with a trash bag.
Right.
And we like to send them out with a suitcase.
Or I presume maybe even a backpack would be good.
Yes. Even a backpack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it is amazing when you strip away all the things, what's actually left, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here sits a child. It could be you. It could be anybody that starts that way. It must be difficult, though, not to know. Do you ever hear back from any of the kids that have been in your care? And I know you're not supposed to contact, you're not supposed to try to find them, but do you ever hear back from a child maybe that says, you know, I should have listened, or thank goodness you were there?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I had one young lady. She was pregnant when she came in. She's 14. Pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she and I would have a tussle every day about, you need to go to school. You need to listen to what's going on. Your life is going to take a complete turn when you have this baby.
Right.
There are going to be things that you are going to have to start doing. And if you don't listen, then there's the possibility that your baby can be removed from you. just like you were removed from your parents.
Right.
And she told me, nope, she didn't have to worry about all that. Her baby was only going to wear designer clothes, and she was going to be doing this. She was going to do that, and she didn't have to go to school. And I begged that child for the whole time she was with us. I saw her maybe 10 years later.
10 years, okay.
She spoke to me because I didn't...
recognize 10 years,
I did not know my child.
Right.
But when she told me her name and started going back into the situation, I said, oh, yeah. How are you? How's everything going? And so she said, well, Miss Laurie, I just need to tell you that I should have listened. Now I'm in school trying to get my GED. I'm trying to work.
I guess 9 or 10 year old child, I guess, at that time, right?
Now I got 2 kids.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm still trying to get my GED because I want to go to college. But I need a better job. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you need the GED to get the better job, right?
Right.
And she says, yes, ma'am. Everything you tried to tell me all along. But I just wanted you to know that I should have listened. I said, well, darling, I appreciate it. And that right there will make me keep saying it to the next child.
Right. Regardless of how difficult and stressful it is because
exactly.
You had one that realized she should have listened. Hey, I'm here with Lori Franklin. She is from the McCormick Children's Home. And we are going to be right back. So don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We've been talking about the McCormick Children's Home. You may remember the Huguenots were here on the air. They sang and serenaded us right before Valentine's Day. They do a lot of volunteer work for you, don't they?
Yes, ma'am. They have our biggest fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they give their time, their talent, and their travel.
Right.
They never charge us anything. The home secures the flowers. Our roses were donated by Food Lion and McCormick. The greenery by Bilo's on Highway 25. The bouquets were put together by the staff.
Right.
And so the Huguenots went out and did everything else. And we raised $2,000 this year.
That's pretty good.
That is wonderful for us to have nothing in it. I mean, that's absolutely wonderful.
Sure. And then, of course, but over the last few years, haven't they raised something like $15,000?
Yes, ma'am. If not more.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that is a huge contribution over the years. And so there are a lot of things you could do. Now, what would you like our listeners to know about the McCormick's Children's Home?
Well, our home is COA accredited. That's the Council on Accreditation out of New York City. Accreditation is a really, really hard thing to accomplish for a home our size. And Bowers Rogers is accredited, and so are we. I think we are one of maybe 8 shelters around the state that are accredited right now.
How many shelters are there?
15 at my last count.
15, okay. So you're accredited, Bowers Rogers is accredited. Now, what does that mean to somebody that is either having to go there? What does accreditation mean?
Accreditation means that we have gone through the self-study. We've taken a lot of time to sit down and evaluate ourselves, our staff, our program to make sure that we are offering the best services we can to the children and supplying their needs. It means that some of our funding sources, we're going to say, like Duke Foundation, for instance, was going in the direction of only funding agencies that were accredited. And so we tried to get in front of that by going ahead and working on our accreditation.
Now, I think you told me that the state eventually is going to mandate all of them to be accredited.
That is what the last administration said. They wanted all group homes to be accredited. So
you have gotten out in front of it.
We tried to get in front of them, and we're hoping to stay there.
Well, that's great. Well, they are down on the John Dillahouse School property down there. They pay $1 a month over there, and They have a really nice place. I've talked to some of the people from Savannah Lakes. Rich Dombrowski, he just is high on your place over there. He loves it.
Yes, ma'am. Rich is one of our founding founders. Mm-hmm. He and Ann Gumby out of McCormick DSS. And so Rich is really great. He still comes over. He's actually still a member of our board. And
he told me that he got really attached to one particular, I think, little boy, if I remember the story. And he was just really, really bummed when he left.
He was. And so they try not to get as attached anymore to the kids, but he can't help himself.
Yeah.
He still comes in and sits down with them and plays with the kids and does as much as he possibly can.
Now, what things do you need from people here? What would you like to see?
Well, I'd love to see an increase in our volunteers. You would be surprised at how you're just coming by for an hour to read a story to the children or to just sit down and play with them. Or if your church group decided they're going to have a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
We had a group out of Evans, Georgia. Genesis Baptist Church came over a couple of weeks ago to do just a fun day for the kids. So they cooked pizza. They played games. They had prizes. And the kids had a ball. They thought that was the best thing in the world because they came over to them and played with them.
And I guess with the age groups that you have there from what, let's see, age one to what's the oldest right there right now?
Right now is eight.
Eight. Well, that's a really particularly good group right now, isn't it, as far as an age group?
It is. It's great that they're staying right along that line.
Right.
So that I don't have that one 17-year-old sitting over there going, man,
this is
I'm
really
bored to
dumb.
Death. I don't want to be here anymore. There's nothing for me to do.
Right.
I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't want to watch Disney Junior anymore.
What do you do in that situation?
Then we'll give the teenager a little bit of time in the playroom. We have a one room, and we have a Wii. We have a basketball game we can hook up, put up on the wall. We've got basketball goals outside, volleyball net. We got bicycles out there. We'll take that child out to dinner by himself so that he can have something that he actually wants.
Right.
Rather than, you know, being forced to eat what the little kids are going to eat. We'll take him to the movies, again, by himself, just to give him some time alone. Make sure that he has some more grown-up time.
Now, one of the things that always concerns me, do you worry that, I mean, or have you had instances where the kids run off?
I think I've had two children to run away in the 16 years we've been here.
Okay.
And one wanted to get married. She was determined she was going to get married.
Right.
I think she was 16.
16.
Yeah.
Okay. She wasn't the one that was pregnant then.
No, not that one.
But okay.
She was determined she was going to get married right there. So she and I hadn't worked out an agreement that if she would just wait till the 72-hour hearing and let us find out what, you know, the judge was going to say.
Right.
And everything. She waited.
Yeah.
She just didn't like what they said.
So she was taking matters into her own hands.
So she went ahead and cut out on me.
Right.
and the other young lady was just truly just homesick. And she just, you know.
Just wanted to go home.
She just wanted to be at home.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a lot of successes, and I'm sure there's those that, even to this day, tear at your heart.
They do. They do. And the biggest problem I think we have is that we cry a lot when the kids leave because we just don't know, and we can't call and find out, you know, how my baby's doing. And, you know, this child has been here with us for 6 months, and we've gone through the teething and the jaundice and the...
All the different things.
The diaper rash and all this good stuff and cutting teeth and all that good stuff.
And then they're gone.
And then they're gone.
And I expect, particularly if they're small babies, they don't remember. I mean, that 10, 12, 14-year-old, they're going to remember, you know, maybe that this was part of their life.
Now, the 14-year-old that calls back and has his mom and dad on the phone and they say, thank you so much. My child has been talking about you guys since they got back home and all the wonderful things that you guys introduced them to while you were there. It makes it worthwhile.
Sure. And I guess that's why you keep doing it, right,
Laurie? It is. It is. That one child.
One child. That's all it takes, huh?
That's all it takes. We've had 750 children to go through the home in our 16 years.
That's a lot of kids.
It is. But
that's a lot of change.
Just that one to call back and say, hey, when you talked to me about this and I was able to make a decision, I think it's working out for me. I like that.
That's terrific. Now, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they go about contacting you?
You can email me at mcchi@wctel.net.
Okay.
Or you can give us a call at 864-391-2931.
All right. Well, this is the McCormick Children's Home. We've been talking with Lori Franklin right here on WCRS. That's going to do it for us. Lori, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.